The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and we have a great show for you guys. We are continuing our off-season editions where today we will discuss some Bills news and notes, some off-season cut or keep candidates, and, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the Bills team in general. So, as always, I'm joined by my co-host for this episode, John. John, it's good to talk Bills with you. How are you?
Doing excellent. Can't wait to talk about the Bills.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Now, it's great. Love talking Bills. Love talking to you. Two of my favorite things to do. So let's get right into it. There's only a few Bills news. And real quick, we are going to give away our last Donovan McNabb signed autographed football from our friends over at Del Lago Casino and Resort. So stay tuned to the end of the pod for that. And so first, real quick, Bills news and notes. Greg Olsen does not sign with the Bills. Former Bears, former Panthers tight end, Greg Olsen, former Pro Bowler, signs with the Seahawks for a one-year, $7 million deal. We talked about this last episode, where we went over the three options, the Redskins, the Bills, and the Seahawks. We all thought it would be either between us and the Seahawks. And sure enough, just like Mike predicted, he ended up going to the Seahawks for a one-year, $7 million deal. Now, I know, John, you had some thoughts about it. We would have loved to have him, but you're not too upset about us missing out on Greg Olsen.
Yeah, I mean, what was it? $7 million for a 35-year-old who missed 18 games the last 3 years?
You're not too heartbroken over it.
It's fine. I love the potential in Dawson Knox. Obviously, he had some bad drops, but he also made some great plays. And I think I wouldn't mind an upgrade at tight end still, even like a vet to mentor for a couple of years. But it's fine if it's not Olsen, it can be somebody else.
Yep, exactly. There's other guys out there. There's other guys that are going to be cut that we don't even know about in free agency that'll be available. So I'm glad they went after him. I'm glad that they were judicious, as they would say, about spending money. I don't think he was worth the money. I think if you're a win, you know, if you're a Super Bowl contending team like I think the Seahawks are and the Bills hope to be this season, then, you know, they might have been worth to spend a little bit more money.
Bills are contenders.
They are contenders. You're right. The Seahawks were just a little bit more of a contender last season just because they made it one more round. But you're right. The Bills could turn it around this season easily. So not too heartbroken over it. It sucks. But I think, you know, we're going to talk about Tyler Kroft in our cut and keep segment after the Bills news and notes because, you know, Tyler Kroft is someone who has had a big injury history just like Greg Olsen, except he just doesn't have the experience and, you know, the Pro Bowl caliber elite play that Greg Olsen has had over his entire career. I mean, Greg Olsen was good with Jay Cutler, for God's sake. I mean, that's just goes to show you how good a player is when they can succeed with Jay Cutler as your quarterback, you know? So he's obviously a good player, but then again, you know, Tyler Kroft is 27 and Greg Olsen is 35. So, you know, you take a little, you give a little. So, the other big news and notes, did you have something you wanted to add to that, John?
I was going to say, Jordan Reed's like, what, 29, right in the middle there? He just got cut by the Redskins. Obviously, he's got a very injury-riddled career, but when he plays, he's pretty good, right?
You love Jordan Reed. Did you have him on your fantasy team at one point?
A few times.
Through at least one of your...
Sometimes it worked out, sometimes it didn't.
Well, you won multiple championship titles in our league, so I'm sure he was on at least one. Dude, you have an affinity, and we all do, for the players that lead us to a fantasy football championship. You know?
Yeah.
You don't want to let him go. I know a kid in one of my other leagues who will always draft Josh Gordon because he got to the championship one year with him, and he's only had one good season as an NFL player in like nine.
Was it years ago?
Yeah. It was a while ago. He'll draft him even though he's not, like, he's still suspended, like with his like 16th round pick. Just because he might be able to start him at some point or keep him next year. So anyway, back to the Bills. The other big.
Would you pick up Jordan Reed for like a couple $1 million?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Going back to that thing that you brought up. I think he's interesting, man, because he is one of those guys that, you know, has very high level talent and skill as a receiver. And he's one of those guys that's big. He is exactly what we wanted Dawson Knox to be, except Dawson Knox was thrown in a little bit too early. It's what we wanted Tyler Kroft to be. Jordan Reed possesses skills receiving that the Bills do not have on their roster currently, right? He's not too old, like you mentioned, 29. It's just, you know, he's always, I know you don't have the stats pulled up, but I want to say he started even less than half the games that, you know, he's been eligible to play in the last 4 years. Like, it is bad. Like, he misses most of the season. And it's not just like a soft tissue injury. Like, he's had a concussion history. He's had, you know, also, I have no idea what this last one, like a foot injury or ankle injury. Like, there's a lot of different injuries going on with him. So I like the idea of like a 1 year prove it deal, maybe. Like, and you only get like the guaranteed money if you make it into the roster. Or whatever, like a 1 year, like what would you do? Like a 1 year, $3 or $4 million contract for Jordan Reed?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go more than that. It doesn't have to be anything big.
No, it just needs someone to, we just need a veteran presence above Dawson Knox and Tommy Sweeney. Those guys need to develop properly. And you see, we've seen this so many times when guys, either wide receiver or tight ends, get thrown in too early and they're not ready for it. I mean, just look at Zay Jones, right? The guy was drafted in the second round. He wasn't supposed to start, but then all of a sudden, you know, they trade away Sammy Watkins, Anquan Boldin retires, and all of a sudden Zay Jones is like your number one wide receiver, right? So.
Remember Anquan Boldin?
Nice. Remember Anquan Boldin. So if you guys don't know this, on Twitter this past weekend, there was just a ton of posts. And if you're following us on Twitter, please do. If you're not, please do. At CTW Pod, like a Circling the Wagons Pod. But I mean, someone started, I forget exactly who started it, but
what would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me?
We were just retweeting old Bills players that you just kind of forget. Like, I mean, geez, I'd go through my mentions, but it was like, you know, like Trey Teague, right?
Yeah.
Keon Carpenter.
Jamie Mueller,
which we talked about last episode when talking about autograph signing. We mentioned like half those guys in there. Hold on. I'm going to go through a few just because they were so good. Derek Holmes. Remember Derek Holmes?
Yeah.
Remember Keith Rivers?
Yeah.
Remember Coe Simpson?
Remember Kavika Mitchell?
Oh yeah, yeah, that was a good one. I like this. This was one from @FrayJ1, which he said, "Remember Shaud Williams?" I was trying to remember his name like all weekend. I'm like, remember that short, like really small back, and like he had a pretty good college career, but you know he was a low round pick. We were thinking he might also play.
Yeah. Yep.
So it all started out because I said, remember Ryan Denny. Ryan Denny, who you still think to this day could have been better than Chris Kelce on the defensive line.
He was better than Chris Kelce.
Much, much better. I think you just liked him because he was a mammoth. He was like 6'7", right?
I don't know if he was that tall, but I thought he outplayed Kelce, but they kept, because they Kelce was drafted higher and they gave him more money, he was playing more.
Yeah, so they let go of Ryan Denny. John's still bitter about the Ryan Denny, Chris Kelce thing. It was just, you know, I really did like Ryan Denny too. I thought he added a little bit more too, but he didn't have the high draft pick status that Chris Kelce did. And yeah, you know, it's funny because we question roster moves then, and we still do, right? It's just funny to do as fans who we don't see the ins and outs of practices every day.
I got a threefer for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Remember Melvin Fowler, Derek Dockery, and Langston Walker.
Dude, the Pro Bowl signings of Marv Levy as a GM, right? You can't see this, but John is dying laughing on his side. He was so excited for that one. Derek Dockery, Melvin Fowler, and Langston Walker. I didn't see that at all over Twitter at all this weekend. Here's a few other good ones. Just, oh, by the way, I found out about this new Twitter site who only has like 100 followers right now, but you should definitely follow them. It's like built for this remember old Bills players, called @randombill1. And they've been doing this since like beginning of February, so way before this was even a thing. And like just going through like every day or every couple of days, they'll put in like a picture of a, like it started off with Trey Teague, and then they went Angelo Crowell, you know, Coe Simpson, Jonas Jennings, Kirk Chambers, Jim Leonard. I mean, this is just like, it's awesome. It's what a cool site. So got to shout them out. Very rarely do you come across some really cool sites like that. But, you know, like there were people saying Jerron Hamden, Kurt Scholes was a good one, Coy Wire, Kirby Jackson, Josh Stamer, John DiGiorgio. I mean, these are just all throwback names, guys that, you know, you don't remember unless you pick up like Madden 12, right?
Sometimes Tecmo Super Bowl.
So that was fun. Good pickup, John. I love it. So after that, we are going to talk about the only other real major news that went across the wire for Bills fans this last week was, according to the AP, John Worrell from the Associated Press, the Bills are going to let free agent defensive tackle Jordan Phillips test free agency this spring. And he said, Worrell reports that while both sides enjoyed his two seasons in Buffalo, they don't expect to stay together for a third or beyond. So the thinking behind, he writes, the thinking behind decision is question, the thinking behind decision is question of how much Bills can spend because they have to focus on re-signing others, continue Worrell. We projected, so Matt Warren from, Buffalo Rumblings, editor-in-chief there, had a great article about this. I suggest you guys read it, but essentially, you know, and we kind of thought about this, you know, with the way that Jordan Phillips performed this last season, the fact that he did have a really good season, and we all agree on it. Ed Oliver was someone that they drafted, though, to really be that three technique defensive tackle, and he had a great second half of his season. And the money that Jordan Phillips was going to command with the amount of sacks that he had in the amount of snaps that he had, it was just, you know, it was one of those things that I think he just priced himself out of Buffalo. And him not being an original draft pick from Buffalo, I think plays into it a little bit, because I think the Bills really want to re-sign their own, like John Worrell mentioned. You know, others like, I mean, for example, Deion Dawkins, Tre'Davious White, Matt Milano. I mean, you got guys there that you really have to sign, that you drafted, and show and prove to the team that, you know, if you're part of it and you work your butt off, you will get paid by this team, and you will get paid. We're not going to be stingy. We're going to give you the deal that, you know, makes sense for us and our team. And I think Jordan Phillips just didn't fit into that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's expected. And, you know, a lot of people bring up his sack total for the year, but weren't like, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but like, I feel like half his sacks were against Miami.
Well, at least half of them were against Tennessee at one game against Mariota. Well, he had to get three. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know,
Tennessee game.
Yeah. It's one of those things too, where, you know, the Bills drafted Ed Oliver, and Ed Oliver really came on at the end of the season. Now, mind you, he didn't have nine sacks or nine and a half sacks that, you know, Jordan Phillips did. But at the same time, like, he showed a lot better in both the run and, you know, pass rushing, because by the end of the season, he was the better all-around defensive tackle, according to a lot of people that, you know, you read and respect about. Joe Biscaglia mentioned that on his podcast and in his articles in The Athletic. And a lot of people that, you know, rewatch that tape mentioned that. And it's Ed Oliver is the future at that position for the Buffalo Bills. And it's a lot of money to spend for a backup defensive tackle at the same position. And, you know, when it comes down to it, the Bills found Jordan Phillips off waivers. Maybe they find another guy like him off waivers, too. You know, and maybe he ends up, they end up finding more depth that way, right? And it's just a lot of money to tie up in a position where they could draft someone potentially maybe in the later rounds that could, you know, be a backup or share some reps or something. I don't know, but I'm not too heartbroken about it.
Yeah, you got to trust the process. I mean, not this year, but in the coming years, they're going to have some tough decisions to make with Tre'Davious White and Matt Milano and some of these other guys.
Yeah, I wonder if they're even going to be able to keep them all.
And exactly.
That's going to be tough. We love those guys. Those are some of the best, most easily likable players on the team. And you know, I really like Jordan Phillips as a player. But Joe Biscaglia noted in a few articles that one of the reasons when the Bills were failing against the run, they're getting gashed a few of those games, that it was more likely than not that Jordan Phillips was on the team or in the lineup as opposed to Ed Oliver. So, you know, you have that right there. I think it's time, you know, we wish him well. We hope he stays, but it's just the way it is. You know, you can't keep everyone. You can't re-sign everyone. If they didn't have an Ed Oliver and it was like Kyle Williams just retired like he did last season, you know, they're looking for a guy. I mean, you know, they signed him for, and good for him. He did a 1-year prove it deal and he proved it. So he did what he was supposed to do on his end. Good for him. He gambled and he gambled right. John, what do you think in general about players like Jordan Phillips, players like Shaq Lawson, and a lot of other players out there that have their best season in a contract year? Do you think that's one of those things where it just took them that long to pop as, you know, athletically and talent wise? Or do you think that it's one of those things where it's like the money motivates and, you know, that kind of worries you, because if it's really money motivates you, well, then, you know, when you get your 4 or 5 year deal with, you know, half the contract guaranteed, are you going to have that same motivation? I mean, we saw with Marcell Dareus, that was not the case. At least it didn't seem that way. You know, we've run into that with other players before. I think a lot of other teams do. So what do you think about players that perform well in their last year right before a contract?
I feel like that players are going to play as hard as they can no matter what, once they're on the field, regardless of it being a contract year or not. I mean, you go out there and, you know, you're part of a team. And I mean, if you're not giving it all, you're probably going to get hurt or somebody else is going to get hurt, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. So I think I don't know if there's a correlation. It feels like there would be, but you're right. I mean, you don't stay in that league unless you're not completely motivated all the time. Like, look at Kelvin Benjamin, right? The guy's out of the league, you know, and it's just, he didn't seem like he was motivated. and other teams picked up on that. And other teams aren't going to be like, well, he'll be motivated with me because I'll sign him. It's like, no, like, why would I want to bring that into my locker room? If there's any negativity or any signs of not being motivated on the field, like, why would I want to do that? Unless he's elitely talented. And anyway. So yeah, best of luck to Jordan Phillips. And I doubt we will be seeing him again in a Bills uniform. He brought a really interesting, fun 2019 season. I thought he brought a lot of attitude and a lot of moxie and just things that really made it an interesting season. So he was one of the, like, I remember with Jordan Phillips, I feel like we're doing a a memoriam on him, like he's definitely going to leave. But remember after the Bills beat the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, there's a picture of him mocking Ezekiel Elliott doing the feed me sign, like him and Shaq Lawson. Hilarious. Like, I love that sort of, and then him doing the pretending like to do the first down sign after. Loved it.
Yeah. Was, you know, in the whole game, you see him on third down. You know, the other team's lining up. He's throwing his arms up in the air, trying to get the crowd into it and that sort of thing.
Yeah, he's very good like that. I feel like the Bills need more guys like that that have a lot of character. So hopefully, you know, the Bills find some more like that, some more leaders and stuff like that. So anyway, let's go into the main part of this podcast, which is the off-season cuts or keeps. So before we go into full free agents, this week we're going to talk about guys that are currently under contract for the Bills and whether the Bills should cut them or keep them based on their salary, based on their cap hit, based on what the Bills have available to spend. Is it worth it based on their production, stuff like that. Next week, I think we're going to talk about, I say I think because, you know, the podcast episode outline changes, you know, day to day, but I'd like to talk about the Bills' potential free agents that we'd like to sign, re-sign, or let walk, kind of like Jordan Phillips. And then we'll talk, like, next week about, the week after that, about some actual Bills' potential free agents out there that we could see the Bills signing based on what we think Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott will do, what they've done in the past. And I think it'll be a fun conversation. So, all right, first off, this idea for this article came from our good friend Matt Perino at NewYorkUpstate.com. Matt does a ton of great work. He and Ryan both do a ton of great work for NewYorkUpstate.com. If you haven't had a chance to, I had Matt on a couple of weeks ago to talk everything Bills, I mean, including free agency. But we talked about the 2019 season. We talked about his thoughts on, you know, Cody Ford and should he be right tackle and his thoughts on Brian Daboll. And we talked, I kept him on for like almost an hour. I feel like I had to apologize to him by the end because he had so much good insight. He's such a great guy to talk to, and he's got some really good, interesting thoughts on it. So he did this article, which I will post on the show notes, about, you know, six off-season cut candidates, and he goes through them one by one. So I'm going to discuss them here on the podcast with John, and I won't give Matt's thoughts on them, so you can read them completely on the show notes or on NewYorkUpstate.com, but I'll talk some of the few highlights that he gave. So first on the list, actually, before we go into these players in general, let's talk about where the Bills stand cap-wise. Now, you probably already know this. If you're a Bills fan, you probably know where the Bills stand cap-wise, but I'm going to just give you a quick summary. The Bills have roughly $82 million in cap space right now. What that does not include is that does not include Bills draft picks. Now, roughly the Bills draft picks could be between $7 and $9 million. I say between $7 and $9 million because, as we all know, the Bills have 9 draft picks, but they could easily trade up, I think they're very likely to do, John, don't you think? Because the Bills never seem to keep all of their draft picks. They never seem to trade down to get more draft picks, except for that first season under Sean McDermott when they were loading up to take a quarterback in the 2018 draft. But I could definitely see the Bills trading up a lot more than trading down this season, can't you?
Yeah, and I think, like, the 2 extra picks are in the lower rounds, too, so they could use those to package up and move up. So I could see that happening.
Yeah, package them up to get, like, a better third-round pick or a better fourth-round pick or something like that. So, so the Bills have $82 million, $83 million, I should say, and what's going to happen with that is, you know, over time, it'll be, like, minus $7 million. So figure, for the draft picks, 83 minus 7, you do the math on that, that's $76 million. So they have $76 million to spend this offseason, either on their own players or new players or whatever. So they got a little bit of cap space with Star Lotulelei this offseason. So let's go over some of the top highest cap hits for the Buffalo Bills this season. This is according to Spotrac, which is such a great site for all of this information. Spotrac says Mitch Morris right now is the highest cap hit for the Bills this season at $11.6 million. He takes up the most cap of any player on the Bills right now. If the Bills cut him right now, they would chew up $10 million in cap space, so that in dead cap, so that will not happen by any means. But, John, if I were to tell you that the second highest cap hit on the Bills is Trent Murphy, would that surprise you?
I guess so, because I wouldn't have guessed that.
It seems like a lot of money, doesn't it, for Trent Murphy?
Yeah, is it his year on his deal, or?
So it is the last year of his deal, and this is actually the first guy we're going to discuss on our cut or keep. So Trent Murphy, the Bills defensive end, has a cap hit this season of $9.78 million. He's the second highest cap hit on the Buffalo Bills roster right now. Last season, he had 5 sacks. The season before, he had 4 sacks, and he was battling injuries through his first season. So this is very clearly one of the guys that, you know, that you could easily see cutting or keeping because his dead cap is only $1.7 million. So if the Bills cut him, today or later in the offseason, they save roughly $8 million in cap space, right? The problem is if you cut defensive end Trent Murphy, since the Bills have not at this point signed Shaq Lawson as defensive end, now you're left with just Jerry Hughes, Daryl Johnson, and Mike Love, right? So you will need to sign at least two more people. Now, if you re-sign Shaq Lawson, I mean, that helps that maybe you take that money and you give it to Shaq Lawson or whatever. But either way, that's a huge cap hit for Trent Murphy. Not knowing anything else, John, knowing that the Bills would only, you know, they would save $8 million to put towards potentially a defensive end like Yannick Ngakoue from Jacksonville or Robert Quinn or someone like that. The Bills could take that $8 million and put it towards somewhere else, or they could re-sign Shaq Lawson, or, you know, the guy is, I mean, let's be clear. Trent Murphy's underperformed to his contract to this point, right? He basically signed a 3-year, $30 million deal when, you know, Sean McDermott first, or in 2018, right? So
his first year was, I mean, he had injuries his first year. Mm-hmm. Thought he had a good 2019.
I think he had a good second half of 2019.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, like, I'd say, like, oh, maybe he could restructure, but he's only got 1 year left. So, I mean, you know, you'd be re-signing him and restructuring at the same time.
Yeah.
He could probably be upgraded, but that hasn't been done yet. Like, you know, so, like you said, they haven't signed anybody that, like, I wouldn't just want to drop him without having a plan, right?
Yeah, and I don't think there's any incentive to drop him without having the plan. See, that's the genius behind Brandon Bean is he, like, I'm going to give some grades from Joe Biscaglia of The Athletic, but, I mean, I remember messaging Joe Biscaglia and saying, hey, you know, if the Bills sign Greg Olsen, does that mean Tyler Kroft is gone? And he was like, not necessarily, because there's no incentive for them to cut him at any given point unless they're in need of that cap. Which they won't be, because they have over, what do we figure, $76 million in cap, you know, for re-signing guys and signing new guys. So, you know, unless they're in need for that, you know, and we're going to talk about Tyler Kroft a little bit later, but unless they're in need for that $8 million, like, they don't have to cut him right now just so they can sign someone or re-sign their own guys. They can do that with the cap space that they've afforded themselves because they've done so well with the cap. So you're talking they could, you know, wait, they could sign a Yannick Ngakoue and still not have to cut Trent Murphy until, like, they find out what they're going to do, you know, defensive end besides him. Maybe they can find a cheaper guy, and then they do decide to cut him, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. They can definitely wait on it. I mean, yeah, like, unless they go absolutely bonkers in free agency this year, they're not going to need that, and it wouldn't not going to cost them anything next year because his contract runs out after this year.
Exactly. So let me give you an idea. So Joe Biscaglia of The Athletic does this really cool thing on The Athletic where he grades players throughout the entire season, right? So I'm not a film expert. I wouldn't even be a film. Even if I watched the tape, I wouldn't necessarily know if what I was looking at was right or not. Luckily, guys like Bruce from the Nick and Nolan show does that. So Bruce is really good at that. But Joe Biscaglia has been doing it for years. We've been following Joe ever since he was at GR. And he does a great all 22 breakdown each week on The Athletic. So I'm just going to give some of his grades. I'm obviously not going to give them all away, but just for the guys that we're talking about. And just to give you reference with the other guys at the position that he plays with, where he ranks. So Trent Murphy, out of 34 players for Joe Biscaglia, ranks 31st in his grade for the 2019 season. So you and I can say, well, he had a pretty good season, or he had an okay season, or he had a good season. Joe Biscaglia thinks he did not have a good season. He gave out of a grade of 4.0, which no Bills players got even close to 4.0. So just to let you know, he gives him a GPA value, and Trent Murphy was 2.64. Like, literally the fourth lowest. The next closest defensive end was Daryl Johnson. Even Daryl Johnson, rookie seventh round pick Daryl Johnson, had a better GPA than Trent Murphy. So, John, when I ask you, Trent Murphy, cut or keep, what do you say?
Well, geez, after you just gave me that last bit.
That's the point of this conversation, right?
Wait, when do they have to make this decision by?
Well, let's just say in a vacuum, you can say, you can give it, you know, some sort of...
Can it be by March, like the beginning of free agency, or can it be by August?
John, you're acting as if this is a really informed podcast, like we have that sort of information. Like I did that kind of research. Come on, man. Like this is literally me just telling you, you know, the Bills can cut Trent Murphy and save $8 million, or they can keep him for another season. Cut.
Cut him, resign Lawson, get Yannick, and draft somebody. Boom. Cut him.
Same here. I say cut Trent Murphy. All right, so let me go to Twitter real quick. I posted a quick poll up before we recorded this podcast. So Bills, keeper cut, Bills defensive end Trent Murphy, 43% say keep, 57% say cut. So that's where Twitter agrees with us for the most part. I was surprised it was as split as it was. I thought it would have been a little bit more. But you know what? That's why you got to listen to this podcast. You get a little bit more insight than you would necessarily get from, you know, just the outside point of view. So... all right, let's go into the next candidate for cut or keep. Keeper cut, cut or keep. Tyler Kroft, tight end for the Buffalo Bills. Kroft is entering the second season of a 3-year deal. The savings, so the Bills, he is right now at a $6.4 million cap hit. The Bills only have $1.6 million of dead cap if they cut him this season. So they save almost $5 million by cutting him this season. The savings increased to more than $6 million, though, if the Bills cut him in 2021. So there's a potential for that, too. You know, it's the Bills obviously are not happy with their tight ends right now, or they wouldn't have even looked at Greg Olsen. They're clearly looking to upgrade the position. And I don't necessarily know if it has to do with Tyler Kroft's, you know, athletic potential. It's the fact that sometimes I feel like he's made of glass, you know, like the guy was injured in one of the first offseason minicamp workouts. And then he came back for the first time in like 3 or 4 months to practice with the team. And then he got injured that same day within like 15 minutes. So, you know, you really root for him. You want him to do well. You want him to be a big part of the Bills offense. But it wasn't just in Buffalo he's had issues with injuries. I mean, this goes back to Cincinnati. So the Bills save $5 million. Let me also give you Joe Biscaglia's grade on Tyler Kroft. So right now he is the lowest ranked, or for 2019, he is the lowest ranked tight end at 2.76 GPA. Just to give you some perspective, tight end Dawson Knox was 13 spaces ahead of him as far as overall positions at a 2.96. So clearly Dawson Knox at this level right now, you know, Tyler Kroft had, you know, limited amount of snaps. He only had 275 snaps compared to 718 of Dawson Knox's. So he only had a third of the snaps, basically. Less than a third of the snaps. So, you know, that has to be taken into account too. But it's very clear that Joe Biscaglia likes Tyler Kroft a lot less than Dawson Knox. Dawson Knox was a rookie last season. So already it feel like he's better than Tyler Kroft at the position. The Bills could save $4 million, almost $5 million, I should say, by cutting Tyler Kroft. John, what are your thoughts?
How would you say compares to Lee Smith?
I'd say he's not as good of a blocker, but he's a better receiver. But Lee Smith played every single game. So what do you say, right, about Lee Smith?
He also has a lot of penalties.
Oh, well, I mean, geez, if it was between... Oh, we're going to get to Lee Smith. we're going to talk about Lee Smith. We'll get there. Don't worry, buddy. We're about to talk about Lee Smith.
I mean, I'm okay with cutting both those guys. But they still need guys there, right? I mean, they need upgraded position, right? Cut them both, upgrade.
Yeah, I feel like when we talk about our fear of letting some of these guys go, like Tyler Kroft, is just like, well, who are we going to replace him with? It's like, well, we didn't know the Bills were going to replace, you know, their tight ends. We didn't know they were going to replace Charles Clay with Tyler Kroft, right? Like that's, we as human beings, sometimes I feel like fear what we don't know. We fear the unknown because we can't say, oh, I know that they're going to upgrade, you know, Tyler Kroft with Hunter Henry. So I'm okay with them cutting Tyler Kroft. It's like, I don't know who they're going to upgrade him with. So I don't really want them to cut Tyler Kroft. But if you think about it, could be what?
Because it could be a downgrade.
It could be a downgrade. You're right. I would think that, you know, Tyler Kroft has been a downgrade so far. I don't know, compared to Charles Clay. Charles Clay wasn't really impressive his whole time here. But You're right. You never know. It could be the unknown does scare a lot of Bills fans. I have noticed that on Twitter and, you know, stuff like that. It's like, well, why would we like the, there was a, I remember last year, there's a big fear of losing Derek Anderson as your backup. It's like, well, who's going to be a player coach? It's like, just relax, guys. Like Derek Anderson is not going to be the reason why Josh Allen is great or terrible next season. It's like, you know, but you didn't know who his backup was going to be, or you didn't know who, you know, the quarterback's coach was going to be. You know, it was people are afraid of what they don't know. But in saying that, you definitely want to cut Tyler Kroft, right?
Yeah. I mean, is this going to be like a list that ends up being like, it's like, if it's obvious that there shouldn't be cut, then they're not going to be on this list anyway, right?
No, we're going to get into those. So I'd say the first two are the easiest. But we both agree, right? Cut, right?
Sure.
Twitter also agrees. 32% say keep, 67% say cut. So Twitter is on the same track as us. So those first two were easy. Now we get into some difficult ones. Ty Insecki, Bills starting right tackle. Well, starting switches reps between Cody Ford. That's a whole other episode or podcast. But he right now this season has a $5.2 million cap hit. And if the Bills cut him, he only has a $1.5 million dead cap for the 2020 season. So the Bills literally save almost $4 million by cutting Ty Insecki. So in our discussion with Matt Perino, he was like, I don't know if you want to definitely go with Ty Insecki as your right tackle. I think you want to try Cody Ford one more season, because he was saying in the locker room, and this is a guy, you know, that has a kind of access. He's like, man, he looked like he went through a war every single game that he came out of the locker room, man. He's like, he's up there. I think he's 34. So, you know, his best football is definitely behind him, but it's a matter of, is he better than Cody Ford right now, right tackle? So I'll say that, you know, right now, you know, the Bills might re-sign Adrian Waddle. I mean, there's a bunch of things that the Bills could do on the offense. You want me to give you the Joe Biscaglia grade of Ty Insecki?
Sure.
So Ty Insecki was the 16th ranked player of all 34 players that Joe Biscaglia ranked. So 16th. He had a GPA of 2.92, right? Do you want a comparison to Cody Ford as the other right tackle to Ty Insecki to see? Because if they're close, right? If they're close and great, then you can say, well, let's save $4 million in cap. They're basically the same player. Let's keep Cody Ford, keep developing him and keep progressing him as right tackle, and cut Ty Insecki, right?
But, well, before you say that, like, are we sure that Cody Ford should be tackled? Like, why not move him to guard?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a great discussion. I think the thinking, along with a lot of people that know a lot more than you and I do, is to say go to guard, because that's where he's meant to. That's where his physical and athletic attributes align him to. That's the way his playing style goes. And it's hard not to agree with that, because it felt like, and you know, we don't rewatch tape, but just from the live broadcast, it felt like he was getting beaten a lot on his side. And I think it would have been a lot more noticeable if Josh Allen wasn't as good at evading the pressure as he is. And we talked about this a lot on game recaps. And if you're new to our podcast and you're a new listener and you haven't, you know, listened to us through the season, we do a recap every single game after the, you know, in the regular season and the postseason. And I remember noticing that several times where Josh Allen, you know, stepped up in the pocket and avoided a pass rush from, like, DeMarcus Lawrence comes to mind from the Dallas Cowboys, you know, just completely destroying Cody Ford with his speed. And guys that have speed tend to do very well against Cody Ford. So, and I don't know if that's a matter of development or if it's a matter of he just won't get better. Right now, as it stands right now, you know, just like going into the draft, he was like the third ranked guard in the draft, and a lot of people projected him to guard, but the Bills say he's going to be a tackle. So I don't know, we'll see. What do you think?
Wait, so what was the grade comparison on that?
Oh, so I didn't give that to you. So Ty Insecki is a 16th ranked player, and Joe Biscaglia is out of 34, and Cody Ford is 34th out of 34 in ranking wise. Joe Biscaglia, not a big fan of Cody Ford. Cody Ford would have a 2.23 GPA.
It's because he's playing out of position.
And if you've listened to Joe Biscaglia and his podcast or reading his articles, he's a firm believer that at this point, at least right now, Cody Ford should be a right guard or a guard in general as opposed to right tackle. And it's hard to disagree at this point.
And that Joe Biscaglia is a smart guy.
Yeah, he's all right.
I'm going to say keep.
I'm going to say keep also. For now, because I think right now it appears just based on that, he is an upgrade over Cody Ford. So it's hard to disagree with any of that. So, and just to give you an idea, so, okay, we're going to go into to more offensive linemen, but Ty Nsekhe had a better grade than Mitch Morris and Quentin Spain did this season. And he had a better score than John Felice. Actually, besides Deion Dawkins, Ty Nsekhe had the best grade of all offensive linemen based on Joe Biscaglia's score. So that should tell you right now, I'm in the firm camp right now. I know you could save $4 million. Keep him for one more season. Then you can, you know, either move Cordy Ford. He'll either, at that time, either be firmly a guard or tackle at that point by the end of his second season. So you'll either have him as right tackle or Cody Ford will become your starting right guard. And then you'll just draft another guy to be your tackle, or you'll sign another guy at that point in that offseason. But it buys you time to keep Ty Nsekhe on the roster that far. So we agree, keep?
Sure. What was his score again?
He was the 16th ranked player out of 34, and he had a 2.92.
2.92. So to the 100th place. So that's awfully specific. I'm curious how he got those numbers.
Well, he does it like a GPA every single game, right? And he does it, he goes into exactly how he does his grading, how the standards work. I'll give you a real quick. And if you guys aren't following Joe Biscaglia, you're probably following Joe Biscaglia if you're listening to this podcast. But if you aren't a subscriber to The Athletic, I mean, it's worth every penny I found, even before Joe Biscaglia joined. And now it's, and I say this because I'm stealing some of his work, sort of the podcast. Great job. He says basically every Tuesday when the All-22 film becomes available, he goes through and watches every player, as many times as necessary to assess a letter grade. And it's a subjective analysis, obviously, but he doesn't know the play calls and full responsibilities, but the grade stems from technique, effort, and presumed liability. So the study accounts for players who take a snap on offense or defense. And so basically he tallies all those grades together and he comes up with a single grade.
And then the average comes out to be, all right.
The average at the end of the season. So the grades I'm giving you are after the entire season, which is the most, I think, accurate grade. And I do this because I don't think we would trust Pro Football Focus at this point, right?
No. Yeah, I should probably go read the Joe Biscaglia article.
Yeah, you should. So I definitely appreciate, he basically does what Pro Football Focus should do, except he does it for the Bills. So, So yeah, we're going to say keep for Ty Nsekhe. And Twitter says 90% say keep, 9% say cut. So pretty much along the lines as us, but they're getting more controversial. Number four on the list, John Feliciano, starting offensive guard for the Buffalo Bills. Feliciano, an unsung hero for the rebuilt Bills offensive line. He started all 16 games at right guard and even moved in some games to replace an injured center in Mitch Morris in two games. So the Bills coaching staff praised Feliciano's toughness, you know, and his physical nature of his game, and they say it rubbed off on his teammates. So right now he's a cap hit of $4.4 million. He only has a dead cap of $750,000. So if the Bills cut him, they save roughly $3.5 million by cutting John Feliciano, Bills starting right guard. So if you're curious about where John Feliciano ranks as far as Joe Biscaglia's grades go, he is number 30 out of 34 with a grade of 2.69.
Not great, Bob.
He is just a few spots above Trent. He's just above Trent Murphy, which we said cut. He is, you know, above Cody Ford just by a few spots. Right now, yeah, he's not a great score by Joe Biscaglia, and the Bills could save $3.5 million, or maybe they decide to move Cody Ford to their right guard spot, save that $3.65 million, use it to put in at Laidren Waddle. Maybe they re-sign Laidren Waddle for a 1 year, you know, low deal and keep him as a swing tackle, you know, and that were maybe they, but then again, you know, if they don't move Cody Ford to right guard and they cut John Feliciano, you know, you now you have a hole right now, as of right now, a Quinn Spain at left guard and John Feliciano at right guard. But if they move Cody Ford in, so we can say this as like a, so cut John Feliciano if you move Cody Ford to right guard, or you can say just in general, cut John Feliciano. I mean, what are your thoughts on what
I mean, so they made a lot of, you know, four new starters in the offensive line this year, right?
Yep.
And it was hard because, you know, they lost Wood and Incognito and this and that. I think they did okay. They still need to upgrade. So I think there should still be a new starter at that position. But I don't know if you get rid of Feliciano because he could be the backup, even at $3.5 million or whatever space he'd be saving. It's at this point, you're really, it's peanuts at this point, right? It's like, peanuts. Are they going to spend $75 million this year in free agency?
Yeah, it's peanuts. It's peanuts. I agree. So I'm going to say, based on that, because we're about to talk about Spencer Long right after this, I'm going to say keep John Feliciano. What do you say?
Keep.
Keep. He's a low, it's a low risk contract at this point. I know he doesn't grade out well this season, but like you said, Matt Parrino loved him. He brought a lot of grit and nastiness to that offensive line, and he mentioned to Matt that he'd like to do MMA after football. So I mean, that just shows you what kind of guy he is. I want to say yes, if nothing else for depth, if the Bills do eventually move Cody Ford to right guard, it'd be great to have a guy that has that sort of flexibility at guard and center like John Feliciano does. Maybe he is their swing guard, you know. Okay, so keep. And right now Twitter says the same thing. This is the most overwhelming Twitter poll we've had. 97% say keep, 3% say cut. Okay, let's go into our next one.
We're crushing it.
We're crushing it. I know. We're so good. Bills offensive guard Spencer Long. The Bills signed Spencer Long from the New York Jets last season. When Long played in 2019, he was good, based on Matt Parrino's article. He's getting this season. He's kind of been only put in when the Bills have had injuries along the offensive line, and his cap hit this season is $4 million, and the Bills save $700,000. So they basically get a savings of almost as much as if they cut John Feliciano, right? So basically look at them, Spencer Long, John Feliciano, at this point they have the same contracts, the same dead cap hit, if they get the same cap savings if they cut Spencer Long. So Joe Biscaglia, does he have Spencer Long? No, he doesn't have Spencer Long on here because I don't think he took enough snaps because he was a backup. So you have a guy that, and one of the reasons why they liked Spencer Long, I remember from last season's free agency, was that he had the kind of flexibility that John Feliciano has of moving from place to place, position to position. You know, we don't know what's going to happen at left guard with Quinton Spain. Do you want him to start there? We don't know. Based on what we've been saying, Spencer Long right now is kind of their swing guard. It's tough. If Quinton Spain leaves right now and they keep Cody Ford at right tackle, I imagine they plug in Spencer Long at that position. So I would have to say that's a tough one, because if it was between John Feliciano and Spencer Long, keeping one of those two, I say keep John Feliciano. But since we don't know what's going to happen with Quinton Spain, and Spencer Long might be that guy we already have under contract to be the left guard for the Bills, the Bills draft another guy or they sign another guy to compete with him, this is a tough one. What are your thoughts, John?
Honestly, like, so he can play multiple positions. I mean, at this point, any offensive lineman you say, I'm going to say keep, knowing full well that I think they need to upgrade their offensive line.
Okay, so right now we've said keep Tynan Secchi, keep John Feliciano, so you're going to say keep Spencer Long too?
Sure.
You know what? I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to say cut Spencer Long. And the reason why I say this is because the Bills, I just remember the Bills have been keeping Ike Butker on their practice squad, or not their practice squad, their active roster for like a season. So what happened is they wanted to keep him last season, but they cut him and he ended up getting signed off waivers in 2018. And then, he ended up getting cut somewhere down the season, I think by the Detroit Lions, I want to say. So the Bills or the Dallas Cowboys. And then he got picked up by the Bills again. They signed him this last offseason. They didn't want to cut him because they knew he would get signed off waivers. So, hey, man, if you're looking to keep an exclusive rights free agent guy or a guy that's like such a low cap hit like Ike Butker and give him the chance, man, if you've been keeping him on his roster and he wasn't active for game day at all, like this is your chance, man. He's been in the league for, I think, what, 3 or 4 seasons at this point? If it's not now, man, then when? So saying that I think Ike Butker could be a potential replacement. If not, you could potentially find a better replacement. They signed him because he was cut from the Jets early and they knew they needed offensive line help. And again, that early, you don't know who's going to become available. And then they ended up signing like 12 different offensive linemen. I'm okay cutting him. So you say keep, I say cut. What does Twitter say? Twitter says keep. Hey. 66% say keep, 34% say cut. I think a lot of the people on Twitter are with you, John. You don't know who it is. You don't know who you would replace him with. So you're afraid, well, you know, yeah, he's good enough, right? He's better than John Miller, right?
And like you can cut him as soon as you do get the upgrade. So there's no risk.
True. He's better than Vlad Dukas. So yeah. That's such a low bar 2 seasons ago that I feel like, you know, I was looking at some offensive line rankings this past week and they weren't above the mid 20s in a lot of things. Low to mid 20s. So like I think they were like in pass DVOA and Football Outsiders and rush DVOA. Like they're just not a great unit yet. Sure, they're better than the unit the season before, but that was such a low bar. They were terrible the season before. So I think we just kind of forget, like, oh well, this is better than that season. Yeah, but that's still not good. You know what I mean? You can be better than the 2018 season, but that still doesn't make you above average.
I mean, but if you're still improving, right? I mean, you're going to get there.
True. Let's just keep improving. Let's not think that we're set with the guys that we have. I guess that's my only point, is don't think that we're okay. But like you said, they can...
Well, not at all. I'm okay if they cut Spencer Long and Feliciano and everybody if they're getting all these improvements. But like, just like in a vacuum, right? Like, considering the contracts, like, is the main reason. It doesn't seem like it's... The contract's overwhelming enough to be like, oh, we definitely got to cut this guy.
No, and that's a genius of Brandon being in the front office is the Bills could literally find, they could sign like a stud right tackle, right? Like a Jack Conklin or something like that, right? They sign him and then they save, you know, $4 million by cutting Ty Nsekhe the next day, right? So you automatically of your, you know, $12 or $14 million deal, not that they will, the Bills I don't think are going to make a big splash in free agency, but the 12 or 14 of that million, 12 or 14 of that contract, you save $4 million right there by cutting Ty Nsekhe, right?
Yeah.
So, all right, let's go into the last person on the list, Lee Smith, tight end Lee Smith, known mostly as a blocker for the Buffalo Bills, his second stint with the Buffalo Bills. What's that? John already says cut. Hold on, I'm not done. All right, stop. Not done. Matt writes that Smith had a big, really big impact on the two rookies in 2019, you know, Dawson Knox and Tommy Sweeney. So he said that was significant. You know, he was very good as a blocker, but he was, you know, he was known for costing the Bills a lot of penalties. We discussed that a little bit earlier. He seems kind of like a luxury at this point. He's right now, he has a $3.25 million cap hit. There's only $1 million of dead cap if you cut him. So you save $2.25 million in cap space by cutting him. So it's the least amount of savings that you'll get from cutting any of the players that we mentioned beforehand. But he's also probably the least impactful long-term for the Buffalo Bills as a player. So I'll give you a quick ranking. Joe Biscaglia did do a ranking of Lee Smith. Lee Smith was the 23rd ranked player out of 34 players. He was ranked at 2.79. He was ranked above Tyler Kroft, but well below Dawson Knox. So we already said cut Tyler Kroft. Do we cut Lee Smith as well?
Yeah, I mean, I even mentioned it earlier with Kroft that cut both of them. So, I mean, the penalties is the main thing for me.
Agreed. I'm just not sure that the Bills really need him. I mean, Tommy Sweeney was, when he was drafted, people were like, well, you know, he's he's not an all-around tight end. He's more of a blocker. Like, he was just known for that much more in college than receiving the ball. And so he was just, he was utilized that way. And I understand the Bills' logic in getting a guy like Lee Smith and Tyler Croft to bring along these young guys. But if you're just asking Tommy Sweeney to block, I mean, do you really need him to sit under a vet for another season? Like, make him the blocking guy next season and cut Lee Smith. And then bring in another, you know, second or third tier tight end veteran like a Tyler Croft. I mean, Tyler Croft was a second or third tier guy. And so is, I mean, Lee Smith was like a fourth tier guy, right? So let's do that. And yeah, so I'm all for cutting Lee Smith. So it's agreed on our side, cut Lee Smith. Off with his head! Twitter says cut Lee Smith. 80%. 80% say cut Lee Smith. So easy one on Twitter. That was a fun exercise for you guys. Like I said, next week, so this week we talked about guys that are currently under contract, cut or keep. Next week we talk about, you know, who of these potential free agents the Bills should really look to resign or not. So I'm going to give a quick plug for our TeePublic site.
Three words for you. Treat, yo, sell.
If you go to teepublic.com/store/CTW pod, you can check out all of our latest designs. They are on sale at the point of us recording this podcast, and these sales happen like every week, I feel like. And I just don't announce every podcast, but you guys should definitely check it out if you haven't already. Our top selling shirt on there is our picture of Josh Allen hurling, jumping over the word haters. So it's just like our own graphic to depict how Josh Allen has been battling against stereotypes and people like Football Outsiders and Pro Football Focus that hate Josh Allen no matter what he does. And they say that Duck Hodges, did you see that tweet? They said that Duck Hodges was better than Josh Allen, and Pro Football Focus actually said, well, they were probably just doing that to provoke Bills fans. It's like, wait a minute. I thought you were like a serious analytical site. Why are you trying to provoke Bills fans? John, do you follow Pro Football Focus on Twitter?
I don't currently.
On purpose?
Yeah.
Same.
Tredavious White's not in the top 100.
Are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me? Pro Football Focus, Tredavious White, all pro? There's only, what, 22 all pros? He didn't make one? He didn't make top 100? Anyway, now you're getting me all fired up. Anyway, back to our TeePublic site. So we have that one. We have Somebody Bought, which I really appreciate. I don't know if it's a podcast listener or follower on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook or whatever, but someone bought like 5 shirts of this next design, which was the Sean McDermott Trust the Process shirt. It's kind of like the Salt Bay shirt, if you've ever seen the Salt Bay, where he's sprinkling the salt over his elbow. We got Sean McDermott sprinkling some process over his elbow. So someone bought like literally 5 shirts, which I really appreciate that. I appreciate you guys supporting the podcast. It was like kids' shirts and stuff like that. I got to buy some for my kids too. I got to buy some for your kids, John, because they're that good. So again, check it out. They have a sale right now for $13 shirts at teepublic.com/stores/CTWpod. That's teepublic.com/stores/CTWpod. Just like our Twitter handle, just like our Instagram handle, just like our Facebook account, just like everything, just like our email account, ctwpod@gmail.com. And our last thing we're going to do is give away our last Donovan McNabb signed football. So if you've been following our podcast, we ask you guys to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And if you do that, then what we will do for you is we're doing giveaways throughout the season, throughout the off season, for just some cool stuff. We gave away a signed John Brown jersey. We gave away signed Tremaine Edmonds jersey. We gave away Bruce Smith signed autograph football, 2 Donovan McNabb signed autograph footballs, and this is our last one that we have to give away from and they were all given to us from the nice folks over at the Del Lago Casino Resort, and we appreciate them doing that for us to give them away. And actually, I mentioned last week there was Darren DWAS9 that won the Donovan McNabb signed football, and like 3 weeks beforehand he won the Bruce Smith signed autograph football. So the dude is just, I'm so glad I didn't send him that Bruce Smith signed autograph football yet, because now I can combine shipping. So you guys aren't going to get them right away, okay? I'm not Amazon Prime, for God's sake, all right? I have things to do. So you're going to get them when you get them, but they're free. They're completely free, just so you know. But so we are going to give away our last... but before I do that, I'm going to read a couple of reviews. You guys went through the effort to write the reviews, so I feel like I should read a couple of them, you know, just to give you guys a shout-out. So this one is from T. Cunning 89. He or she writes, "I love the Circling the Wagons podcast. They have fun segments like Stat of the Game, Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers, and are just a good listen. I feel like I get a perfect recap of every game. Keep up the good work, guys." He is at TommyC9879. So this one's from our buddy Adam Talmadge. I know this because he always writes in after every game. He writes, "CTW are the best. I'm a new listener of Buffalo Rumblings and have become a fan of Circling the Wagons. The gang really makes me look forward to Mondays. They make you feel like you're recapping the game with your boys and have great tweets during the game too." So that's one of the things I think that's one of the things in general that I'm most proud about with this podcast, with talking with John and Mike and the rest of you guys, is we've been friends for, geez, I mean, it's crazy how long we've been friends, over 20 years now at this point, because I don't like to think about it because it makes me realize how old I am. But we've known each other longer than we haven't known each other. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Do you know how many years it's been since we graduated high school?
John, shut up. I don't want to even shut up. Why do you need to do stuff like that? You always do that. But that's literally like one of the, I'm just going to cut you off right there because I know our 20th is coming up soon. But that's one of those things where I take the most pride in, is that you guys feel like you're part of our group, because you seriously are. I mean, you know, minus being in, you know, the same state or whatever than us, I think a lot of, you know, our listeners, you know, come from out of state and, you know, come from different areas, and they feel like they're part of the group. Maybe they can't talk to a Bills fan every day like we can. I mean, we go to the office every Monday or go to the job site or whatever, and we're talking to other friends that are Bills fans, but not everyone has that. So appreciate you guys saying those nice things about us. It really, you know, motivates us to do as good of a show as we can for you guys and just keep the conversation going, because a lot of this as Bills fans, a lot of people will talk as experts and a lot of people are experts, but when it comes down to us, we become more informed Bills fans by listening to more opinions. So you may agree with us, you may disagree with us, but, you know, it's really appreciate again what you guys are saying. So we are going to give away this last Donovan McNabb signed football. Donovan McNabb, by the way, everyone has to check out his last 2 minutes on offense in the Super Bowl where he just basically gave up. So this is Donovan McNabb. Let's see who win this one. And this week it is, the winner is at Sumit N. Gupta. So the winner is at Sumit N. Gupta. I have not read his or her review yet on the podcast, I don't believe, but they have won. So if you are listening, Sumit N. Gupta, you have won this signed autographed football. So email me, tweet me, shoot us a message over Facebook or whatever, and I will get that and send that over to you as soon as I am able. And yeah, that's another thing, is I'm glad Darren won twice because he listens every week. And that's another thing, is you guys got to listen every week, because our good friend Dave did not listen. He's like one of the three people that we know just happens to listen that isn't, you know, one of us. And he didn't listen 1 week. And guess what? He missed a signed autograph jersey. So that's what happened. So at Sumit and Gupta, if you're listening, just message us and we will send it over to you. So thank you guys, everyone, for listening. We will come back again next week and give you some more insight on free agency. I like to do free agency before I don't even like to talk about the draft until after free agency happens, because, you know, you might look at the Bills' biggest need is defensive end. And then all of a sudden the Bills get Yannick Ngakoue and you're like, okay, well, at the time we spent, you know, scouting defensive ends, we know they're definitely not going to take one in the first round now. So what was the point in us looking at them? So, I mean, I don't know if it's out of laziness or just a matter of the fact that I've gotten too committed into guys in the past. Like, oh, we definitely want this defensive end. And then the Bills get Mario Williams. It's like, well, all right. Well, what's the next biggest need, right? So we're going to kind of take that approach with the podcast. But again, like, I love listening to other people on this network, other podcasts on this network that talk about the draft. I love hearing about it, but we're not going to talk about it really until after free agency. So thank you guys again for listening. For John.
Remember Vontae Davis?
Good one. Way to bring that joke full circle, man. You're a pro. Go Bills. Go Bills. And for me, Nate, go Bills. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.